So for that, let's look at the three Gemaras that speak about Shaktu. I don't want to spend even a day on it, just want to spend part of a day on it, hopefully. So let's try to get that done on Thursday. And I'll give you, so this, it comes up here on base, Amaral to base with base, the Takan of Shaktu. Again, it's repeated in the Gemara, it's mentioned in the Gemara in Gimel Amaral of Tadalan on the base. Just look at the Shakavatari, and on Hey Amaral. Shaktu appears just to the context in which it appears. And in terms of the Rishon, I'm just going to give you in terms of the Shita Mekubetzes, because it's just more concentrated. But basically, I'm interested mostly in the Chachmei Svara, the Ramban, the Ra'ah, the Rajba, the Ritva. Whose benefit is this Takana written for? In other words, is it for her, for him, for both of them, for the, is it a pragmatic Takana? Is it an idealistic Takana, meaning it's a Takana which serves some other purpose, or there's something intrinsically important, about having a proper quality suda and simcha, of the wedding. Interesting issue. So those are the things I want to look at. So I'll just give you Marmakomos in the old, if you want to, just in terms of the concentration, the old Shita Mekubetzes, which is what I still use, although there are much better ones now. But in the old ones, it's again, it's concentrated in these dapim, but page 3, there are a few lines in the Shita Mekubetzes which are also worth just looking at quickly. So it's in the old Shita Mekubetzes, page 3, column 1, basically, page 4, column 2. You can just translate them when you from one to the other, but it's really the Rishon HaMalatar. Page 8, column 2, 10, column 2, and 27, column 1. 27, column 1, the Ritva, the Ramban, and Rabbeinu Yonah. And also the Ran here, Alatar, Aleph Amud Beis, and the Da Be'erif. Okay, so that's just very quickly, what is Takanas Shaktu? We might add a little to it, but just what is it, basically? And what role does it play in the Takana of the Mishnah? Then after that, I want to discuss the bigger topic, which is Higi Azman Belo Nisu. I'm going to give you Makoros for that. Ochlos Mishalo V'Ochlos Betruma. So for that, the Gemara here, Ksuvis, Beisim Adalf to Beisim Ad Beis. The Ramban Dibramaskal Lishitaso, again in the Shita Mekubetzes, it's also on page 10, column 2, if you want it. But the Ramban here, the Shita Mekubetzes itself, Dibramaskal, that's why I sometimes use the Shita Mekubetzes references, because there's material in the Shita Mekubetzes that obviously is separate from the regular Rishonim. So the Shita Mekubetzes, Dibramaskal, Od Yesh Latarets. And again, some of the formulations, page 11, column 2. Basically, what we're trying to figure out in Higiyas Mambalo Nisu is whether or not this is really, we hinted at it already, is this a halachic definition of Yom HaNisuin? That's what we want to figure out. Higiyas Mambalo Nisu, in other words, if some reason somebody can't go through with the wedding, does it matter who can't go through and why they can't go through? Those are the issues. But partially the question is, what is the significance of that wedding date? Is the wedding date just an expected, time to complete the ishus? And therefore it's all just about the expectation, and confounding that expectation carries with it certain penalties, knossos, that kind of a thing. Or is it more than that? Is it, especially if you take the view based on our Hakdama, that chuppah, that stage 2 in the Nisuin is really kind of a davar de mimela, and really everything should have been crunched and concentrated together at the Eirusin, but the Torah intentionally delayed Ishus and created two phases. So would you go so far, and especially if you look at it not as a separate kinyan, let's say, but as something waiting to be completed, like an ikuv that you haven't yet done the chuppah, etc. Is it possible that the Yom HaNisuin, there's something called the Yom HaNisuin, which is halachically significant, and which carries with it, as a result, that's how we would know this, halachic consequences. That's, are there some aspects of Nisuin, that really begin on the Yom HaNisuin, all things being equal? That would be a sensational idea, especially if there are Doraisa ones, that would even be more sensational. We'll see if there is such a thing. So that's the issue that we're interested in figuring out. What is the significance of that day? So he gives Mabalonisu Ochos Mishalo, but Ochos with Truma. So it's the Sugi Ereksuva, the one I just mentioned with a few Karos. The other parallel Gemaras or issues, Nadarim Ayin Gimelom at base, the Ran there, and in connection with that also the Ramban and the Ra'ah in Ksuvas Nun Zayin Obed Beis. Again, if you want to look it up in the Shitun Gubetzes, it's in the second volume, pages 21, column 2, 22, column 1. If it helps you, again, if not, just Ramban and Ra'ah, Nun Zayin Obed Beis. Tosas Rid Ksuvas Mem Ches Obed Beis. Okay, with his view on the Mishnah Rishona and Mishnah Achrona, regarding Truma. That's what happens to Truba in Higiyas Mambalo Nisu. Right? The Yerushalmi in the Darim, also Perik Yud Halacha Dalid, in the explanation of Shitas Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, that's the second sugya. Third sugya is a sugya in Ksuvis, Ayin Obed Aleph to Ayin Obed Beis. Rashi and Tosas Diva Maskel Higiyah Zman Velo Nisu, or Shehigiyah Zman Velo Nisu. And then in addition to that, the Ritva in Ksuvas Nun Zayin Omed Aleph, Diva Maskel Oklos Mishalo, the Ra'ah Ksuvas Kuv Zayin Omed Aleph, Diva Maskel Vi'i Mishum, again in the Shitum Gubetzes, if that's easier for you, you'll find it in Volume 2, page 318, Column 1. And the Rosh in Yevamos, Perik Dalid Simen Chafhei, and if you get a chance, the Or Sameach in Hilchos Ishus Perek Yud, Halacha Yud Tes. And then just briefly, Tchi of Mizonos in the case of Yavam, Tosas in Ksuvas here, Beis Amid Beis, Tosas in Yavamos, Mem Aleph Amid Beis, and the Ramban there, and Tosas in Ksuvas, Kuv Zayin Amid Beis. Okay? We have that pretty much. Okay, and again, it seems like a lot, but it isn't really so much because there's a lot of overlapping, and I'm going to try to move more quickly because we just want to get in all these good topics. Okay, so before we begin, just two comments quickly on the issues that were. First of all, Jonah brought to my attention before this year that since we were talking about the Drushim yesterday, you know, and at least being analogous to what we were discussing, so there's a particularly interesting connection to the status of ksuva within Ishus in Chazal's discussion of the Shviras Haluchos, which, as he pointed out to me, did you have the reference number? In Avos Drav Nasan, there are different versions of this, but both in the Medrash and in Avos Drav Nasan is where?
I think it's Beis Gimel.
Beis Gimel. Is one version of it, and another version is, you know, the Medrash and Rashi in Parshas Kisisa, the effect of which, do you have any of the language on you? The effect basically of which is that, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu destroyed the Luchos Rishonos because he wanted to absolve Klal Yisrael from violating, you know, the equivalent of, again, this is a Medrash, but even, you know, in an analogous way, of a medrash, right? Things, you know, the analogy has to make some sense. So that's what makes it significant. So basically, he wanted to absolve Klal Yisrael from the violation of Eish HaSish, having betrayed the Rabbono Shel Olam after the Eirusin of Matan Torah. And what he did was he ripped up the Ksuva, which was the Luchos. And so, of course, the idea that the Luchos are the Ksuva. And that ripping up the ksuva somehow is oker the ishus lemafreya, which is the mashal and the nimshal. Again, it's not literally true, we know, but I think the point, the bigger point is that if the ksuva was just about a financial arrangement, then it would make no sense whatsoever. If the ksuva is a way, you know, to, you know, by means of the contract to enhance the bond itself, the ishus, then this is a very intriguing idea. I have to, if you have one of the Lashonas, just quickly.
Which one, Rashi or?
Yeah, do the Avos Drav Nasan, that's a little more.
Okay. You see, Aguli Omer, Em Shalach Mashal, Lamaha Davidoma, Lamelech Mas Vadam, Shamar Lishlucho, Seve Kaddish Li Nara Yafa, Vichasuda, Umasa Noin. Halach Oso Shliach Vikitcha, Lachashikitcha, Halach Umutsa Shazinta Tachas Acher. Miad Hayadan Me'atzo Ve'omer Imani Nosin Laksuva Me'achshav Nimtza Mechayv Amisa V'Niftiruhu Me'adoni La'olam.
Yeah. So again, tearing the ksuva. The ksuva is the luchos, and the ksuva is the way to undermine the ishus. Now, that isn't true, right? So, and it's also just a medrash, a very, you know, interesting medrash. But again, if the point I'm trying to make is that this definitely reflects the prominence of the ksuva and the idea that it's an ishus halach. And the Rashi in Kisisa is, you know, not exactly this, but it's something, in those points at least, it's similar. Okay. Anyways, that's number one. Number two, Joshua brought to my attention yesterday that he mentioned something about the Evan O'Ezel. I didn't realize that he was talking really about the Evan O'Ezel. I thought he was talking about the footnotes in the Ramban, which were written by, well, there he is, Rabbi Yisrael Zalman. So, but actually, the Evan O'Ezel apparently has a piece in Perek Yud Hilchos Ishus, where basically his take on the Ramban is just a little bit different than we discussed the Mishnah Melech's take, which is that the, you know, Nisuin can be before the Erusin, or the idea that these two things are happening bevasachas. The way that Rabbi Zalman seems to be saying it is a little bit different, but it's an interesting twist. As we noted, the first answer, the Rambam, he doesn't say this part of it, but the first answer to resolve the Almana, the Besula Lekoin Gadol problem was the idea that maybe the Gemara, which is assuming that Bia Nisuin Osa. The problem with that is that we don't paskin Bia Nisuin Osa, probably. So the second daya of the Ramban is the one that's mechadesh, that we're dealing with a situation where there was this maisa chuppa, you know, before the erusin, but once you do the erusin, everything is good. It's all ishus. So it seems to me, at least, that what Rabbi Zalman Melter is suggesting is not either of the two pshatim that we talked about, but the idea that that bia is nisuin osa. Bia normally is not nisuin osa, but bia is nisuin osa when, as he puts it, your agida, you know, bebal ktsas. And the agida bebal ktsas is accomplished by a maisa chuppa, even if there isn't yet a chalos chuppa. And then when you do the bia, then the bia nisuin osa. Again, he doesn't say this exactly, but that seems to be what he's struggling to say. So that's an interesting idea, something to think about. Finally, I mentioned that there are other answers to the Nusacha Bracha problem. Why is it Chuppah is prior to Kiddushin? So again, somebody asked me afterwards what I was referring to. There are different, in addition to the technical answers of why we mentioned Chuppah, even though the Bracha isn't about Chuppah, and so on and so forth, those we've seen already. But just on a technical, Nusacha Bracha level, the Shi'iltas had the girsa of Kiddushin v'chuppa. You should just be aware of that. Instead of chuppa v'kiddushin. He actually did turn it around. And the some of the Mefarshim just explained that chuppa v'kiddushin means chuppa dila achar ha-kiddushin. That's a second point. And the third one, of course, is the Bala Itur, which is quoted in the Ran, which is that the words should be read chuppa v'kiddushin, not with a vav, but with a vase. And that means, again, chuppa in the context of kiddushin. But the point is that if you either read chuppa v'kiddushin, chuppa de la achara kiddushin, or, especially if you have the Bala Itur, it explains, you know, the order, but you want to ask yourself, like, why would anybody write it that way? So you still probably have to explain that this highlights a certain special connection of kiddushin and nisuin. In other words, even though we're doing kiddushin, we're looking forward to the nisuin in the end of the day, or that the kiddushin really is, you know, the march towards nisuin. But either way, these are some of the other nishos. And then finally, I looked at the Miri again, and I think if you again say klalos on nisuin doesn't refer to nisuin chuppah, but refers to ishus in general, then I think it is very possible that the Meiri isn't necessarily emphasizing one more than the other, but he's really integrating the two. But either way, putting together the Meiri on Daf Beis with his remarks in the beginning of the second parak his various remarks on Zionoid Beis and Magen Avos definitely presents an important picture about the integration of the two. The last point, and this leads into our next topic a little bit, is we talked about Mekadesh Yisrael and Mekadesh Yisrael Adei Chumah Mekidushin, and whether the ultimate, you know, mention of the mitzvah, you know, is more Birchas HaMitzvah oriented or Birchas Shevach Kodah. That we saw could go in either way. Right, the Rush actually quotes Mekadesh Yisrael Adei Chumah Mekidushin, even though he holds it's Birchas Shevach Mehodah. The Rambam has only Mekadesh Yisrael, even though he holds it's a Birchas HaMitzvah. The Ra'ah thought that they were Haba HaTalia, and that anybody who holds that it's Birchas Shevach Mehodah should just say Mekadesh Yisrael, whereas if you held it was Birchas HaMitzvah, you should be Mefaret the Mitzvah, which is Mekadesh Yisrael Adei Chumah Mekidushin. Either way, that's an interesting question. But the bigger question is the question that the Gonim asked, which is, like, why are we saying Mekadesh Yisrael in any form in this Chasimas HaBracha at all? And one of the things that we were trying to explain was because, as many Rishonim explained and as we expanded, this is very much a Kedoshim Tiyu-oriented mitzvah. And I was saying even more than that, in a way, it is symptomatic and it crystallizes what's unique about Kedushas Yisrael and the system of Halacha, right, where you take, you know, limits and rules and laws, right? And that's the not supposed to technologize, you know, your life and formalize it. It's supposed to use that formality, right, as a way to build in the kiyumim, you know, but to protect them, to cherish them, and to find, you know, effective kedusha ways to outlet them. And again, even the line in the Siddur of Rabbeinu Yakar highlights that as well. But I wanted to add one other element in addition, and this will help a little bit for today also. And that is that another reason possibly why we emphasize Mekadesh Yisrael is because of the possibility that the area of Ishus constitutes its own dimension of Kedushas Yisrael. And it's not just that it's an expression of that or a great symbol of it, but that in Kedushas Yisrael itself, Ishus is a dimension. And this I just want to mention briefly, you know, later on in the year I hope we'll be able to document this much more specifically. Again, originally the yeshiva actually is learning the third parak of Ksuvas, right? So in the very beginning of the third parak of Ksuvas, there's a discussion about the status of the Givonim, the Nesinim. So the Meiri has a famous shita that, you know, what was the status of the Nesinim? Were they complete Geirim or not? There seems to be a discussion in the Rishonim. And similarly, Abba Machlokas about the Kutim, you know, Geir Harayos, you know, with an Aleph, meaning lions, meaning they were scared into their Geirus, right? The question is, people like the Givonim and the Kutim, and you might be Michalik between them, but there's parallel discussion in the Meiri on Givonim and the Ravid and others on Kutim. What was the status of their Geirus? And generally speaking, we have like a definitive positions. We have definitive positions on those issues, by which I mean, in the end of the day, either we think that their, you know, conversion was sufficiently sincere, and their Geirim Gemurim, and whatever anomalies are Drabanan or you know, and so on, or we really think that, you know, they didn't pass, you know, muster when it comes to the level of their Kabbalah Sol Mitzvos, etc., or their sincerity, or their motivation, and as a result, they're really not, they really don't have Kedushas Yisrael. Okay. There are, however, some Shitas, the Meiri, the Ravid, and others, who basically strike a compromise. They say things like, the Geirus is Chal, generally speaking, but with respect to Ishus, you would need another Giyur. Now, it's for Heter, you know, to marry a Benos Yisrael, right, the Givonim, or possibly the Kutim, their level of Geirus is insufficient. Of course, that's a very shocking idea, that there can be, you know, more than one level of Geirus. Yeah?
So with the Ethiopians?
You might have something similar in that respect. I mean, the Ethiopian situation, I don't want to get into that right now, but is, as you know, is a big, you know, subject to big controversy also, and the famous tshuva of the Radvaz, you know, on that. And, you know, when they started bringing them to Eretz Yisrael en masse, this became like a huge issue in the poskim. So, again, there's a difference between saying, you know, it's always better for communities where we have this kind of safek to do another Geirus. Just because, even if you really think that the, you know, previous gear was fine, if there are enough people out there who don't, it's just, you know, some of the Russians also who have, you know, have come to Eretz Yisrael. So that's like, on a policy level, it's always better to do a Geirus L'Chumra anyway. But here we're talking more about, you know, is there really like an in-between status of having Kedushas Yisrael but requiring Geirus? So the, as I say, you have it to certain populations, and you also have it in certain situations. So, for example, the famous Rashi in the end of Kedushin in Perek Asar Yochsin, where again there are all sorts of different implications of the sugya of Goy and Habal Bas Yisrael, what the status of the child is. We basically paskin that, you know, Eved Ba'akum Habal Bas Yisrael, since the mother is a Jew, that the child is a Jew as well. Right? Kedushas Yisrael goes by the mother. However, Rashi in Asar Yochsin and Tosis in Yevamos seem to have a dea that there should be a giur, and everybody's very disturbed by that. So some of the Achronim suggest, the Rav understood it this way as well, that not that we're calling into question the Kedushas Yisrael in this case, but what we're saying is, for the sake of marrying a Bas Yisrael, right, there should be an additional giur. And again, not here we don't just mean misafek, or to allay other people's reservations, but as an objective status. The Rav thought that was also the pshat, possibly in the Rambam. Rambam Adukasi Surei Bia, you know, discusses, you know, all sorts of, you know, time of Shlomo, and, you know, all sorts of problematic motivations, you know, Geirus L'Shem Ishus, you know, those kind of issues, where maybe there wasn't a proper Kabbalah Sol Mitzvos. He thought again that there might be, you know, Geirus, but maybe it's insufficient for Kedushas Yisrael vis-a-vis, you know, marrying a Bas Yisrael. And that might be the pshat in the Rif. The Rif speaks about, you know, Geirus, which doesn't have a proper Bezdin, or which wasn't done Bifnei Bezdin. There are like a number of expressions of this. Maybe the idea is that when it comes to, we had this a little bit also, I should say, in a couple of years ago, we talked about, you know, the status of Meshumud, Afa Pishachata Yisrael Hu. So there are some Gaonim who say that even though we say Afa Pishachata Yisrael Hu, that's true, generally speaking. And it's even true if there is a Maisa Kedushin or a Maisa Geirushin. But with regard L'chatchila, to marrying a Bas Yisrael, right, maybe as far as that is concerned, right, there's an additional Isur. The Tashbet seems to even say that the prohibition of Los Eschatein Bam really would apply to a Meshumad. That's a very remarkable thing. In general, if you look at the discussion of Los Eschatein Bam, again, this is the beginning of the third parak of Ksuvas, you know, I'm like solving my conscience you know, problems just a little bit. This is a very, very important topic in the beginning of the third parak of Ksuvas, that the whole Los Eschatein, basically, if you analyze it carefully, seems to not just be a violation of Isurei Ishus. It seems to be the threshold, the overlap between Znus or Rayos on the one hand and Avodah Zarah on the other. Sounds a little bit that way in the Psukim, and it sounds even more that way, right, in the Gemaras and in the Rambam and in some of the Rishonim. And we could totally understand it because there's obviously, you know, marrying out of the faith. That's why intermarriage is, you know, such a, again, we live in a time now where people's you know, sensitivity in these areas have been completely dulled by, you know, numerous generations of rampant, you know, intermarriage. But, you know, even just as go back 30 years ago, even people have no frumkeit whatsoever, no connection to halacha, but just identified or affiliated as Jews, the idea that they would marry out of the faith was just a horrific, you know, idea. And again, unfortunately, that's changed, and it reflects other things too. But part of the reason for that is a certain, obviously, who you marry, you know, the building blocks of Klal Yisrael are an integral part of Klal Yisrael. And it's an integral part of, you know, betraying, you know, the Jewish people, Am Yisrael, and by extension, you know, Elokei Yisrael, Amei Chami, Elokei Chelokei. Part of that meets in family life. And that's why Los Ischatein has this connotation, not just because Lamaisa, you know, in 50% of the cases, wherever you're dealing with a non-Jewish mother, you're also producing, you know, non-Jews as opposed to Jews. But in addition to that, there's this idea that, and I think this is the yisod of the idea in Geirus as well, that, you know, there's a component in Kedushas Yisrael, you know, that is special to Ishus. And for that reason, you can have, you know, a ger who's a ger for everything else, but still requires more tikkun, not necessarily whether the ishus is chal, probably it is chal, but l'chatchila, there would be an ikuv, you would require something, right, for the sake of a heter of Benos Yisrael. So if that's the case, I'd like to suggest that that may be another reason why we speak specifically about Mekadesh Yisrael in the context of Ishus. And I think that has implications for our next topic too, at least according to the Ran and the Ramban, as we will discuss. So let's begin with that discussion. David, you want to read for us? Sounds like you're pretty enthusiastic. You want to read for us, right? Yeah. Okay. So what do you make of the Mishnah? For some reason, you said, why did you say for some reason? Yeah, so with this, basically the Mishnah, we already discussed why the Mishnah doesn't, why Masach HaKesuvos doesn't start a little differently. The first thing the Mishnah is going to tell us is about the wedding date. Strange. So we've already discussed what it should have said and what it should have been about and why it isn't, etc. Now let's talk about what it is. Right, the first thing is about the date of the wedding. Now chronologically and sequentially, that's fine. Conceptually, you know, you wonder, you know, is this a good place to start? So the more we think that the reason for having a wedding date, right, is significant, meaning this takana of the Mishnah, the more palatable it is to explain why the Mishnah, you know, begins with this. But okay, that's just speculation. Either way, the for some reason in your formulation implies that, like what's really going on here? So basically the Mishnah is describing that it's better to get married in the case of Basul on a Wednesday and Mana on a Thursday, be having to do with the ability to be Mavarer, you know, some Tainan Bezdin. Okay. So it's not just, oh, why are we starting with the, you know, preferred wedding dates? It's more than that. It's this particular reasoning kind of leaves us a little bit cold, at least on the surface. What do I mean by that, David? Meaning, you're going to pick out, you know, you're going to circle that magic date in the calendar, just in case, you know, the Kala, you know, misrepresents, you know herself or betrays you before the wedding, so you'll be able to go to Bezin and be Mavarer? That's what it says. Right. So, I'm just saying that isn't the most idealistic, you know, reason to pick a wedding day. It's not Valentine's Day, that's for sure. Lahavda. So you could say, okay, you know, we're a pragmatic religion in addition to being an idealistic religion, and this is important, and that might be the only answer. Of course, if there's some way to idealize, you know, this pragmatic point, you know, that would be a little better, I think. But, you know, okay. Either way, there are several questions to ask in the Mishnah. Number one is, who is this date for? Right? It seems clearly to be for all chasan and kalas, right? At the time where there was a Bezdin meeting on every, you know, Monday and Thursday, right? It doesn't seem to be limited to a very small population of chasan and kalas, as we'll discuss in a moment. You know, Pusa, Mibas, Gimel, Shanim, or Eishes Kohen, right? That Iker Chaser Min HaSefer. Okay. So the question then is there sufficient, you know, rationale for this date? Moreover, what is the function exactly of Beis Din here? Right. The point is to be mashkim le Beis Din. Right. So that sounds like Beis Din has a role that they're playing here. Now we know the role of Beis Din, you know, in some areas. You have a din Torah, you go to Beis Din. Okay. Beis Din is mevarer. Sometimes Beis Din is koveya. Right. Is one of the things we want to keep our eyes on is whether or not the role of Beis Din here is sufficiently compelling that this condition, you know, Batei Dinim setting on Mondays and Thursdays, you know, is enough of a justification, you know, to limit the, you know, the people who own wedding halls, like, the, you know, they have a right to earn a living too. So only Wednesdays and Thursdays, right? I'm not so serious about that. But so basically, what are we talking about? Are we talking about a takana? You might say, well, I mean, we might as well gain whatever benefits we can, you know, from the wedding day. Maybe it only affects a very small population. Maybe it's a very far out and unidealistic chashash. But, you know, there's no counter pressure. You know, who says that we have to have, you know, open wedding dates all week long? So maybe it's better for some reason, or it's not worse to have one or two. And whatever little you can accomplish, matov. If you take that view, so fine. It's going to be easy to understand this takana. But if you see this as like a limiting takana, financially and otherwise, so we would want stronger justification. We would want something which fits in better to our understanding of you know, the pressure and the counter-pressure. Okay. Of course, the main issue, and that's partially what I've been discussing, but not fully. It certainly exacerbates the issues that I'm raising, David, is the issue that the Rishonim raised. Namely?
Namely, what is the role of Beis Din in regards to more fear if we might have needed?
Yeah. And basically it goes in two opposite directions a little bit, right? The problem of Svek Sveka, which is the problem, of course, that has to deal with, the problem that Tosus, right, raises. What's the problem of Svek Sveka? Meaning, even if it's true that when he says, when he accuses her of not being a Basula, right, even if that, even if, you know, he is not lying, and let's assume for the moment that he is sufficiently expert to be making this charge, right, still, there are enough explanations out there, you know, that this whole thing is innocuous enough that it's not going to, you know, it's not going to have any consequences. In which case, what's the point of it all? Right. Why is it a Svek Sveka? What's a Svek Sveka? Safek Tachtov, Safek Eino Tachtov, because if it's Eino Tachtov, it's not a violation of Eishes Ish, right? This all happened past long, long old history, right? Before Eirusin. Or Safek. Safek Ones, Safek Ratzon, and if we're dealing with an Eishes Yisrael, so having that kind of a terrible experience, the Ones, right, does not make her Asur Labala. Correct? Okay. So, what does Rashi say about all this, very quickly? Rashi definitely is bothered by something. He doesn't ask the question, but he definitely says something here. Right? Yeah. So what is all that? We don't want him to cool down. We want him to pursue his accusation, right? If yesh shos ben atayim yesh lachus shema yitpayes v'tkarer daito v'kaimena the shema yizinza tachta v'nesra alav mitoch sheyav lebezin yizbara davar k'sheyetza kol shema yavo eidin. Okay. So that solves the problem or not? Definitely Rashi is saying something. He's giving Bezin a role, that they should be motzi kol, they should do the investigation. So it's not Bezin as a paskening or as a takana creating entity. It's now Bezdin as an investigating unit. Right? Interesting? Go to Bezdin so that the word will get out. Or maybe Bezdin isn't even investigating, just when you go to Bezdin, Yetzei Kol, and you'll get some results. We'll get to that in a second. Right? So does that solve the problem or not? Definitely it gives an assigned role to being Mashkim or Bezdin, but it doesn't seem to obviously solve the problem of Svek Sveika. Or as if something is a Svek Sveika, so Bezdin should say Svek Sveika, Mutter. Right? One would think. And that's exactly what Tosus has. So look at the read the Tosus quickly. In Tomar. Yeah. So Tosus asked the question very frontally. What does that Gemara in Tesamid Aleph say, David? Excellent. Shavi Nafshe Chaticha Di Surah, the Gemara there says, on top of Tenda Tesamid Aleph, Ha'omer Pesach Pasuach Matzasi, Neman La'osra Alav. Right? We believe him. Right? Even though she denies it, presumably. But we believe him, Le'inyan Shavi Nafshe Chaticha Di Surah, which we'll hopefully discuss later in the year. And as a result, right, he will not be able to continue to live with her. So then the Gemara asks immediately, what? It's a Svek Sveka, Safek Tachtav, Safek Ein Tachtav, Safek On, Safek Ratzon. Meaning there should be there's no Shavi Nafshe Chaticha de Yisura, because he doesn't know himself whether or not she's Asura. He just knows, or thinks he knows, that physically she is not a basula, right? So there's no hischaibus or shavya chaticha di sura, right? So what's Gemara's answer? So the Gemara says this is talking about a case where it's sveika daraisa l'chumra. And basically he establishes one safek, sveika l'chumra. Even that's a bit of a chiddush, because shavi nafshe chaticha di sura, how do you know that works misafek? But it's very reasonable. It's a reasonable conclusion. We'll get to that later in the year when we talk about shavi nafshe. But, as he plugs himself into the halachic system, the halachic system says that a safek is l'chomra, a safek darais is l'chomra. So if it's eishes kohen, or p'kusa yibas gibel shana miyam echad, so it's a safek echad, and it's shavi nafshe chaticha di sura, everything is good and fine. But what's clear is that if it was Trey Sveiki, right, that we would not consider that a basis for Iser. So Tulsa says if that's true, so here's, unless we're talking about one of those two women, it's why does he mashkim Lebezdin? And if he's mashkim Lebezdin, what's going to happen? Lebezdin say to him, it's a sex faker, thank you very much. Come back when you have more or different information, right? Okay, keep going. Omer Ben Tam, but then Tosus has to contend. What's the mission about? Omer Ben Tam. Yeah. Umishum Eishes Kohen Upusa Migimel Tiknu. Right. So basically, in Achanami, it's what we said before. We're going to limit wedding days. You know, it doesn't take much. How much of the population is, Pchusa Mibaskim L'shonim V'yom Echad married to Pchusa Mibaskim L'shonim V'yom Echad or Eishes Kohen? Okay, I'm not an actuary, but, depends definitely,
where.
What is it?
Depends where.
Okay, sounds like you might really be an actuary. Okay, it definitely depends where, okay, but unless you live in a city of Kohanim, it's quite a low minority. It's not more than 17%. Right? Okay. But why not? What's the counter pressure? You have to have a wedding date. You might as well do the one that solves some good. It's better to solve 17% of the problems, right? Or 22. So, fine. That's Tosus's view. If you ask the question, according to Tosis, like, you know, what is this takana about? Is it a kiyum and ishus? Is it, you know, forestalling something? No. Obviously, it doesn't take much to establish a single wedding date. Some toelis is good. Keep going. But I can't say this for Rashi. Go ahead. Kosher LePerusho. The Gemara tries to bring a raya. This is on Tesumid base, right? From the Mishnah. So if you hold like Balei Tosis, so that's fine, because we're really talking about the real case is Eishes Kohen and Pchusim Ibas Kibbul Shana, just that they expanded the Takana from there, because, like, why not? Right? Even if it doesn't apply to other women, but for the women who it helps, they made it a low plug. And there's a Kiddush in there about Takanos. But I'm not ridicule Kasva Shalom. You see from here, if you can plug a hole, even if it's a small hole, right, if there's no counter pressure not to, or not sufficient, you do it. That's what Tosis says. So according to Tosis, the Hemshech HaGemara is perfectly good, because it's all about whether objectively the conditions are such, whether it's Isur Labal. But according to Rashi, what's the problem? According to Rashi, it really is fundamentally, even about cases of Svek Sveika, just so, who knows, Yetzei Kol V'Yavar Adavar. So what's the Raya? That doesn't prove that Omer Pesach Pasuach Matzasi Neman LaOsra. Not at all. Maybe it's not Neman LaOsra, but Shema Yetzei Adavar V'Kol, etc. But until there is a call, there's no Shavi Nafshech HaTichud Yisura either. Right? That's Tosa's question. Then Tosa says an important thing. Go ahead. Keep going. Balab de Katoin. That's the Gemara's line. Bahashta. Pirsha Kuntris. Yetzei HaKol. Meaning, what's the downside? But that doesn't prove that there's an Iser. There's no correlation to those two dinim, right? That's how's Rashi going to read that Gemara? This is important, right? It's technically important, but we'll see in a moment. It's also conceptually important. Okay, Vyesh Lomar. The lay of the day bearer. Kiyomru. So what do you think about that? What's the answer, and is it important or not? What? Does it really solve the problem if it's just a technical point? Or does it raise another question? Rashi thinks that a Svek Sveika of Iser is enough to impose his takana on all women only to get married on Wednesdays, right? So that's why, because it presumably, because a chashash rachok is enough. Not like Tosis, who says, yeah, for the 17%, you know, we might as well plug that hole. So let the other 83 get married on a day, which also helps the 17%, right? It doesn't hurt them. That's not what Rashi's saying. Rashi's saying this helps everybody. 100% of the population, right? Eishes Kohen, Pchusim Ibas Gimel, and everybody else in between. Everybody's helped by this because Shema Yetzei HaKol. It's only Svek Sveika. Still Shema Yetzei HaKol, right? So Tosis, so now Tosis is saying, but how do you read the Gemara on Tesumid Beis? The answer is, the Gemara on Tesumid Beis isn't telling you that Svek Sveika is Asura. That doesn't make any sense. Right? What it's telling you is what? That obviously we have no doubt that he's a baki on the physical fact of Pesach Pasuach Matzasi. Correct? So you might ask, and how do you know that? Because otherwise the Mishnah wouldn't work. Why? Because let's say, again, let's be actuarial for a moment. Let's say there's only a 70% chance that he knows a Pesach Pasuach Matzasi when he sees it. Or let's be even bolder. Let's say there's only a 40% chance that when he's sees Pesach Pasuach Matzasi that he knows what he's talking about. Right? So there's no benefit to the kol that's going to be Yotzei from Bezdin, you know, when this all gets heard. I would say, oh yeah, I saw, terrible thing, I have evidence. Right? Meaning already it's a svek sveika. It's a svek sveika, didn't bother Rashi. But if the svek sveika includes a less than, let's say, 100% or treating, you know, on the facts of Pesach Pasuach, that matters. Why? The whole point, if we were doing by the actuarials to begin with, we wouldn't have bothered with the whole thing anyway. So apparently the chashash rachok, that Shema Yetzei Adavar, that's sufficient. Maybe something good will happen here. I mean, something good. Something sad, but something necessary. Something to prevent an Iser, right, of Sota. But no one's saying that he 100% doesn't know Pesach Pasuach. So it's a little strange, right? So it would seem. So it emerges from this Rash, from this comment. By the way, does Rashi really hold this way or not? So if you look on Daf Tes Amud Beis for a second, Rashi actually anticipated this question and says exactly what Tosus did. Dir Masul Afanan Nami Tanina. Here on Tes Amud Beis, towards the top, Rashi says, "The Toein Pesach Pasuach Matzasi Asra Lav V'lo Aminan Lo Kimle." Right? Not lo aminan, you know, something else. Meaning Rashi himself says that the common denominator in the Gemara is about his physical expertise, not about the likelihood, you know, that she really was Mizana and that she's Asura Labala. Okay. So it sounds like this is important. So hold this off for one more minute or a couple more minutes, and we're going to get back to it. It sounds like percentages are not the only thing that should matter in Rashi's equation. And I think that is 100% correct. Okay, so let's hold off on that for just a minute. But we need to explain why. That's what I'm trying to add. Okay, continue. The Odia Shlomar. Metaknim Shetei Nisa Siyom Dalid. So that's an interesting idea, that maybe Rashi has a two-tiered, you know, consideration for this takana. It's a single takana. In other words, for 17% of the population, which is Tosus' idea, we wouldn't do it. I made up 17%. I assume everybody knows that, right? It's probably really even less. Anyways, but it depends where you live. I agree. You think it depends where you live because of the Cohen population or the Pusim and Baskim will show up?
Yeah, I guess if you live in Kurdistan.
Yeah, I hear that. I hear that.
What? What if a Kohen can also marry a Pusim?
That's true also.
Then there would be no something else.
Oh, I see, because you're saying then the... I hear that. Okay, so, that's a good point, actually. Okay. Anyways, the point is that if it wasn't for the 17%... you know, a vadai benefit that you get, then we wouldn't have made the takana just for the, you know, for the chashash rachok, you know, that maybe something will come of this. At the same time, we wouldn't have made a takana only for 17% of the population. It's an interesting, right, even a meta halachic issue. It's an interesting one, right? We're only going to make a takana which is vadai helpful to a certain percent, you know, and which is, you know, which has a lesser, you know, but still some compelling toeles to everybody else. It's a combined or a combination takana. That's the second perspective of Tosus. The first perspective of Tosus is that the 17% is irrelevant. We wouldn't make a takana for them, and we don't need them to make the takana. Okay, but then we still have to explain what's going on with Rashi, and why is there a difference, b'manav shach, if anything goes, any little, you know, possibility, then why a difference between who's a baki, between the bakiyas part and the halachic part? Yeah. I mean, it's more pragmatic, you're saying.
It sounds like
there's
a zero.
Okay, maybe.
It doesn't say Shammai, it just says Lo Yitzhak
Kol. Okay. Yeah. I mean, somebody's going to look around and find Tosa Rosh says something like Shammai Lo Yitzhak Kol or something. But okay, I hear. But I think that too could be explained. I hear. So you're Ellie's saying it's a practical thing. Meaning you want the purpose of this is She Yitzhak Kol, and if people aren't going to take it as seriously, then Lo Yitzhak Kol. Right? Okay, could be. I'm going to suggest something a little bit different in a second, but yeah.
What's the issue with the Abaye?
With Abaye?
Right.
Abaye links the first half of the Gemara, right? The part that says, you know, Ne'eman la'osra, Omer pes pasuk v'sasi ne'eman la'osra, which the Gemara says is only referring to either Eishes Kohen or Pekusin v'askam v'shonot yom echad with the Mishnah. Because he brings a raya for A from B, from the Mishnah. So according to Tosus, that's because the Mishnah is also based on that 17%. Again, in those two cases, yeah. Right? But according to Rashi, it's not true. What does the Mishnah have to do with anything? Even if it's not Ne'eman La'osra, there's still a benefit of getting married, Shema Yetzei Kol. Right. So the first answer of Tosus is, without Bekiyus, right? The common denominator is whether he's a Baki Lomar in Pesach Pasuach, not whether Pesach Pasuach is Ne'eman La'osra Lav. These are two different consequences. There are two consequences for his being a baki. One is, if you have Safek Echad and he's a baki, then it'll be Lo Osra Lav. That's Tesa Ben Aleph. And the second consequence is the Takana of the Mishnah. That's the first answer Tosfos gives for Rashi. The second answer, as we discussed, is, no, there's a two-tiered Takana. It's a Vadai Takana for a certain population, and you need that, but you also need the second half, and that is, it's a Safek benefit, you know, for another population. But then that would apply even, right, so you're going to say Eliyahu to Machlokas and Metzias at the second view says even if he's not a Bucky, or maybe. I don't know. I hear what you're saying. We'll get to it in a second.
Okay.
Let's just finish the Tosus for a second. What?
Tosus actually does have a little bit of a different question.
What is he saying?
He says, the Elo Kimle, Mishakin Oso, Miyad, Omrim Lo Shu Toev, Lo Yitze Akov, Lo Yisvar Hadavar Bein.
But that's exactly. It's a halachic thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is also the way the Ram says it. So we'll get that in a second. I prefer that one, but I hear yours. Okay. That also makes it easier to explain the Tudeos. Right. But let's finish the Tosis for a second, because there's one other har I want to make, and then I'm going to get to what I think is going on here. Go ahead, David. Where are we? What are we up to? Tema, right? Yeah, so this is a straightforward question too. What's in a nutshell? Right, it isn't just the regular Tomer. This is an important question. Meaning we're mitaken Wednesdays because we're choshesh liznus. It's bringing a right from the Sugya and Gittin that we're not choshesh liznus. Right, because nus is lo shriach. I would just add, and here, not only is nus lo shriach, but you know we're dealing with a wedding day, so we're going to define the wedding day by the possibility of nus, right? Strange. What's the answer? Okay, so it is more shriach. Okay, inami. Shalotayshiv imo be yisur kol yamav. Oh, okay, that already is interesting. The first answer is a technical answer, like how much chashash and what are, you know, the conditions of chashash. The second answer is hard to assess. We'll get back to it in a second. Shel teshu kol yamav, but the ongoing consequences here are grave, and therefore we're more worried about outside possibilities. Okay. I would just add to that as well, and I'm going to in just a second, what I think is, you know, that might mean, or an additional thing that that might mean. Okay. Before we get to that, so let's hold off on Rashi for a moment. Let's just discuss some of the other Rishonim quickly. So Tosis basically says it's a takana based on Safek Daraisa L'Chumra plus a Loplug. I say there's, as I just said a second ago, there are some meta interesting halachic issues about making takanos across the boards for small populations, but that aside, it's interesting. The problem with Bali Tosis is, in addition to this, you know, a Loplug, this giant Loplug, is the Bezdin problem. What do I mean by the Bezdin problem? Netanel? What's a Bezdin problem for Tosis? What function does Bezdin serve for Tosis? Or do they?
Recorder.
What?
Recorder. Someone records.
Okay. It's basically not a substantive function. They're going to Bezdin to do what? Meaning, what's the real takana? One subject. You agree, right? Okay. Right? The real issue is whether it's Safek L'Chumra or Svek Sveka L'Kula. What do you mean recording? You're saying...
You'd have to, lodge this complaint,
Right, but do you have to, really? I mean, if there's a Safek L'Chumra Doraisa, so Safek L'Chumra... needs Bezdin to... Meaning it's just...
Bezdin has processes.
Do they really? I'm saying it's not... You don't need a psak Bezdin. There's no psak Bezdin. You don't need a psak Bezdin to tell you Sveika Doraisa is the Chumra. Right. That's basically what you're saying is, you know, this is what people will do. Right. But it isn't really a function of... As I said before, Bezdin can be Metaken, Bezdin can Paskin. You don't need Bezdin to Paskin, you don't need Bezdin to be Metaken here. It's really the regular din of Sveika Doraisa. That's why the Ritva, by the way, doesn't like the view of the Bali Tosis. The Ritva says, what's the role of Bezdin? What do you mean Mashkin Bezdin? Right. I think it's like yours, it's just more pragmatic, like, you know, he'll take it more seriously, you know, he can consult with his rabbi. Right? It's Mar Mokom Hulo. The rabbi's not telling him anything. Or he's telling him something, but he's not doing anything. He doesn't need to Paskin. Okay. That's the problem with Bali Tosis, in addition to the other problem. The Meiri has several suggestions. David, did you get a chance to see it?
I don't know.
No? Jonah? Well, got a chance? The Meiri? Alatar on the Mishnah? Jonathan?
Yeah.
He has two interesting suggestions, or maybe three.
One of the interesting suggestions is that it's not necessarily going to be a sex vehicle, if she is...
Okay, let's leave that for the second, because that's the most interesting one. Before we get to that, what's the first one? I think I'm getting the order right.
Okay, he has something similar.
Maybe we're talking about losing the ksuba.
That he presents that, I think, after.
Oh, that's the second one?
That's the second one, yeah.
Oh, okay.
He has different cases where you could lose the ksuba, but she'd still be usher to you, or she'd be usher to you without losing the ksuba.
Right, so this case in particular, he says, what will happen, what are the two svekos? Safek Ratzon, Safek On. Safek Onus, Safek Ratzon. Right, Onus is a Ptur, except for Aishas Kohen. And Safek Tachtav, Safek Eno Tachtav, because we're talking about a violation of Aishas Ishan Sota. Right? What happened before she was Mureses is irrelevant to Sota. Correct? However, who says that we're talking about the Iser Sota in the Mishnah? Maybe we're talking about Hefsed Ksuvasa. And if we're talking about Hefsed Ksuvasa, then the only thing we should care about is Ones and Ratzon. Because even if it wasn't Tachtav, it's still Mekach. Do you have a line there? It's still Mekach Tos. Because she misrepresented herself. Right? Okay. Why doesn't the Meiri like it?
Because he thinks it's unlikely that we'd have something for money for the ksuba when it should be about Yisrael.
Yeah. Is the first Mishnah and the wedding date going to be determined by the question of ksuba? Now, the truth is, Pashtus of the Gemara later on, also in Daf Tes, is that we're talking about Iser, and we're not talking about, that's when the Gemara brings its Raya on Tesamid Beis from the Mishnah. Simple reading of the Gemara is what we're talking about. It seems the Gemara seems to reject that we're talking about Ksuba, and it seems to say that we're talking about Isurin, right? But to me, this is a quick Ka'ara, the Mefarshim who do say that what they do with that Gemara is question number one. But one thing that does emerge, an interesting little sub-machlokas, once again, right? The Ksuba is about finances, right? Or the Ksuba is about Ishus. If the first Mishnah is defining the wedding date, you know, because of its concern with the Ksuba, rather than with Isur, Isha Labala, that's just an interesting phenomenon. It doesn't have to prove anything major, but in light of other things that we've discussed and that are out there anyway, it's quite interesting. Because even the way you said it, like the takana of what day you're going to marry is going to be about money. No, it's going to be about Heter Isha Labala, right? Well, as we know, Ksuba isn't just money. Okay. What about the second or the first answer of the Meiri, which the Rajba also quotes on Daf Tes? So what do you make of that? What is that?
It's saying that
the Gemara Daf Tes Amud Aleph, which says Svek Sveka is Mutar Labala, is only in a situation where
she's
quiet. But if she says what does she say?
That she was Mizana.
If she says, well, not that she was Mizana.
Shari Afi Moda Shalonan.
If she says that nothing happened to her,
I'm sorry, if she says that
and that she was a basula, so implicitly she's agreeing that she wasn't Nansa. Right? So the excuse, that's the taina for her, that would save her. By saying nothing happened to me, she's certainly saying I wasn't raped. Right? Once she says that, then half of the Svek Sveka, from her own point of view, we want to say that on her behalf, Shema, right, Nansa. But she's already precluded that. So since that's the case, it's safek. If she's makhishaso, ironically, it's safek echad, not trace fake. Now that is very fascinating. So the why does the Miri like it or not like it? Doesn't like it.
No.
Right? Why?
Doesn't
say. He doesn't say? He doesn't say? Or he only says it later on? Oh, wait a minute, 1 second. The Rajba doesn't like it. The Rajba doesn't like it for practical reasons. The Rajba says she doesn't want to admit that this terrible thing, maybe she doesn't want to admit to herself that this terrible thing happened to her. She certainly doesn't want to publicize that she had this horrible experience. So she says, no, everything is fine and good. We shouldn't take that. We shouldn't eliminate a tzad safek that would help her, you know, for that reason. We don't believe her, basically. But the Meiri himself, maybe it's later on, it could be, on page 43, he has like this. Second. Could put that in the Gemara and Daf Tes. Elavadai after Makheshes came. Listen to this. This is unpaid on Daf Tes. Shalohura tanasa behakhasha yoser mi bishtika. That adraba alimta litanasa. So what does that mean? Again, that's not on the base. He adds on the test. his shtik, her shtika, I'm sorry, her hakasha cannot be worse than her shtika in terms of her own advocacy. She's saying, I'm innocent. Saying I'm innocent, nothing happened, cannot make things worse for her. Why? In kala omer lo lavisi, you know, kila omer lo paraiti. That's kind of what the mentality of this idea is. She said nothing happened to me, so nothing ba'anus happened to her. Bishlam of the Raj, but the Raj is giving a psychological explanation. You know, she says it, but ignore. I mean, does she want to admit that this terrible thing happened to her? It's a terrible thing. But that's not what the Miri is saying. Miri is saying a legal comment. Right? Her shtika can't be worse in this particular case. I'm sorry, her taina cannot be worse than her shtika. You need to understand that. So let's hold off on that for just another couple of minutes. Either way, if you take the 2 days of the Meiri and Tosis, right, we understand what the Mishnah is all about, but we also understand that the Bezdin has no real role. Let's get back to Rashi. So what does Rashi really hold? I mean, there's a serious problem, Svek Sveka here. And we have a problem with the Sugya there. It's better probably to say the first pshat of Tosis in Rashi than the second pshat, since Rashi himself does add that the common denominator is about Bikius when he says Pesach Pasuach Matzos. So what's really going on? So here's where I wanted you to look a little bit at the broader issue of Svek Tzveka, which we'll complete when we talk when we get to Daftes, but we'll discuss already a little bit now. And that is in the following way. The question is, how do we understand Svek Tzveka? And against the background of certain other klale, birur, the hachra, as well. Now, first thing to know is that there's no makar really, right? No clear makar for Svek Tzveka being lakula. Okay? Now, that's not necessarily a problem. You might say you don't need a makar. Maybe you need a makar to teach you that Safek Echad is Lechumra. Right. That might be one explanation. Or, you might say, in other words, the Chiddush is Safek Lechumra, not Svek Sveka Lekula. In Lechabola Chiddusha, that's one explanation. A second explanation might be that you don't need a Makar to teach you Svek Sveka is Mutter because... Because why? What's the second explanation? Josh. You don't need a makar. First one is what I said. In the Chabal Chidusha, maybe the Chiddush is Safek L'chumra. What will be a second explanation? Yeah?
Svek Sveka is just a type of rov.
Svek already comes under the rubric of something else, which does have a makar. Like rov. 100%. Svek Sveka, every Svek Sveka is a rov, you might think, or say. Right, it's a composite rove, which might make it a little different, or might make it not a rove at all. What do I mean by composite rove? Usually, a rove is an integrated rove. Right? How many, how many Ashes Kohens are there in a city? Right, we said before. Right, that's a miur. Right, but Svek Sveka is a composite rove and miur. Right, assuming that you're dealing mostly with two Suffolk Ashakals. So you have, you know, roughly speaking, 50-50, which means that you have 75-25. And that's going to be one of the issues, obviously. Let's say you don't have a Suffolk Ashakal. Can you ever have a Svek Sveka, which is a Svek Sveka, without being a rove? Or without being a sufficient rove? Right? It's an interesting question. But the idea that a Svek Sveka, albeit, despite the fact that it's composite, might be considered a rove, is certainly eminently logical, and once that's the case, then you don't need a makar, because we have a makar for rov. Where's the makar for rov, by the way? Or do we have a makar for rov? Where's the makar for rov? Anybody? What? Parajita? Well, the Gemara in Chulin.
Paradima.
The Gemara in Chulin has a whole discussion. What's the makar for chazaka? Right? And what's the makar for rove? Only question is, do you need a separate makar? This is the 2 days in Rashi in Chulin. Do you need a separate makar for Rubadisa Kaman and Ruba Deleisa Kaman, or not? Ruba Deleisa Kaman means where you have a, you know, you have the facts on the ground, you have the roves and the miyot standing in front of you, you know the population of your city, you know how many Kohan Eishes Kohen there are and how many Eishes Yisrael there are. Right? As opposed to, like, you know, you figure it out in terms of broader global probability where you don't have it in front. I mean, you don't know this city, you just know world-wise or universe-wise how many Eishes Kohen and how many, right? Assuming you know the character of all the different planets and so on and so forth. Perhaps we speak to Robbie about all that. But, no? Just Middle Earth. That's all you do. Okay. Anyways, the point is that, you know, Ruba Deleisa Kaman, Ruba Deleisa Kaman, between the two of them, somehow, the Gemara in Chulin is happy that, you know, to say that there's a Mokar for Chazaka, there's a Mokar for Ruba. Okay. What's another possibility like that? You said Rov, but it's the same. Rov is A, right? Okay. In other words, one explanation why you don't need a Makar for Sfek Sveika, as we said, is because Ein Lecha Ba Ela Chidusho. Sapek L'Chumra is the Chiddush, right? That's one. Number two, it falls under the rubric of an existing category which has a Makar. That's two. Two A, Rov. What else? Maybe. What else could have fallen under the makar of? Under the rubric of? Yeah. Safek drabanan. Lekula. Correct. Of course, then they could ask how you know that, but that's already safek drabanan lekula's problem. How does it get to be safek drabanan? If Safek, there could be two explanations. Either if Safek Daraisa L'Chumra is a Din D'Rabbanan, who holds that way?
Rambam.
Seemingly the Rambam, mostly we'll say the Rambam, right? With some exceptions, which make it a little more complicated, and that's certainly not our topic right now. But the Rambam has the general view that Sveika Daraisa L'Chumra is a Din D'Rabbanan. Again, certainly Ikva Isura is an exception to that rule, as we've said over the years many times, and people have been around, right? Because you bring a korban Hashem Talui, right? And presumably there are a couple of other, you know, exceptions in the Rambam as well, but mostly the Rambam's view is that Sveika Drabanan, the Chumra is a Din Drabanan. The Shev Shmeitza likes the idea that for the Rambam, Svek Sveika is a Safek Drabanan because it's a Safek built on Sveika L'Chumra, which is a Drabanan. So it's Safek Drabanan L'Kula. If you ask me, when the Rambam speaks about Svek Sveika, it does not at all sound like he thinks that it's based on Sveika Drabanan L'Kula. Even though it's a very nice idea, the Shev Shmeitza. The Rishon who says this, and this we'll speak about more in Daf Tes Amud Aleph, anybody know, happen to know? That Svek Sveika is based on Sveika Drabanan L'Kula? But for a different reason. Not because all Sveika Daraisa L'Chumra are Drabanan, but at least because many circumstances where there's a Svek Sveika, the first Safek often is really only Aser Midrabanan, at least in cases of Tarovas. And therefore, the second Safek will be a Safek Drabanan L'Kula, and that's the Pshat in Svek Sveika being L'Kula. Anybody know who says that? I didn't sign it to you. No one knows? The Ra'ah. The Ra'ah in Bedek HaBayis says this. That's how he tries to explain. I did make references the other day, and again, it's one of the makoros that they argue about is the Sugya of Tes Amud Aleph, actually. Namely, the Svek Sveka of Safek Tachtav, Safek Ein Tachtav, Safek Ones, Safek Ratzo, right? There's a debate among the Rishonim. If you saw the Sugin Beitza, Gimel, how many people got through the Sugin Beitza, Gimel and Beis already? Very quickly. Nobody did. So we should just leave it for, I guess, for Thursday to finish out. But try to finish those Thursday and try to do Shaktu. Okay. But there's a huge debate about Svek Sveka, whether it applies in the case of what we call Safek Echad Beguf, and Safek Echad B'Tarobas, or not. What does that mean? Now, do you have a substantive suffix? And then you combine the substantive suffix, meaning we're not sure whether this food is treif or kosher. Right? We're not sure whether this beitza was nolda b'yom tov or b'shabbos or not. Right? That's a substantive suffix. That's called suffix echad beguf. Right? What's suffix echad b'tarobes? The object that you know to be, let's say, you know, problematic falls into, you know, a tarobes. So let's say you have suffix echad beguf and suffix echad b'tarobes. Let's say you have a suffix treifa, right, that fell into a tarobes. Is that a sfek sfeika about which we say sfek sfeika lakula? Or not? Okay? So that is a massive machlokas rishon. Who cares? Sfek sfeika. Right? If you were to take it in terms of the percentages, the composite rove, does it matter? You have 50% there and you have 50, whatever, unless the numbers happen to change. But per se, the fact that we're dealing with two types of sfeikos, you know, one based on Tarovis and the other based on Go, it doesn't make a difference. Right? Actuarially, in other words, it makes a difference. But maybe it makes a huge difference. That's part of the big topic. Anyways, the people who speak about, you know, the fake sveika and suffix, so one of the sugas that they quote, the Ra'ah, the Rajba, is a suga of Tesum and Aleph. Because that's, Gemara calls that a sveik sveika. Suffik tachtav, suffik ein tachtav, right? Ones and rabza. What is that considered to be? That considered to be, you know, suffik echad beguf, suffik echad b'tarova? It's two different sveikos, right? On the one hand, but it isn't exactly echad beguf, echad b'tarova. But it's not like two suffik b'taroveses or taroviyai, taroviyai either. It's not like, oh, the object fell into a pot, right? You know, with his robe, and then you took something from that pot and it fell into another pot. That would be treis sveikos b'tarovas. That's not suffik tachtav, suffik ones and ratzon. So the Rishonim in Torah Sabayis, what's the page in Torah Sabayis? Again, most of that part of it I'm going to leave because that would just be too much of a distraction now. If you want to know the page, It's bias revi shar sheni. That's the discussion. Anyways, the better habayis, the Rajba believes in this whole sofik echad beguf, sofik echad b'taroves. It's huge in Yoredeya, in klali seksveika of everybody. It's basically Rebbeinu Tam and the Ri, and Tosas and Beitza and other places. The Ra'ah says the whole thing is really a misnomer. The problem of suffik echad beguf, suffik echad b'taroves, he says, is that usually the suffik echad beguf is usually, or the suffik echad b'taroves, usually there's a suffik drabanan involved. When you isolate one of them, if they're drabanan, so it's basically svek sveika, and svek sveika is suffik drabanan lakula. In other words, the Ra'ah says, there's no real din that sfek sveika is lahakel. The din is that we use the things that we usually call sfek sveika, one of them is a safek durabanan, and therefore it's safek basafek basafek bedin durabanan. And that's exactly what Shef Shmaitza says for the Rambam. The Ra'ah says on a more pragmatic level for the Yesoda sfek sveika. That's why I call it two, you could call it three, but I'm calling it 2b, meaning not that, you know, ein l'chabal l'chidusho, but, and not that it's a rov, right? It's sveika d'rabanan l'kula, unless it isn't. If you really had two sveikos that are both sveikos d'araisa, it sounds like the Ra'ah would actually hold that that's not l'kula. That's quite remarkable. Okay. There is a third possibility as well, to explain why you shouldn't need a makar for svek sveika. What's the third possibility? Ellie? Are Yosef? Sounds like Yosef really wanted to volunteer. So
I know, but I guess kind of what Ellie said, meaning it's not even...
Wow. You guys are really attuned. Yeah.
Or
Lavitz Chos.
He whispered an answer.
I hear. Yeah?
But it's not even like a thing, because if it's...
It's not even a thing? Nice.
Yeah, if a suffix based on a suffix is no real suffix.
There's no latus a suffix. Very good. Meaning, there's no foundation, not because of the first thing we said, which is that suffix l'chumram, right, is aser. By the way, which makes a lot of sense when you consider that according to the Rambam, it's only drabanan to begin with. So to say, oh, it's daraisa, but ein l'chabal l'chidusho isn't so bad. Oh, there's a lot of meta and philosophic issues in that, right, whether suffix should really be l'chumram daraisa or not, meaning Torah only impose these surim on badais or risky behavior, you know, in Darais. It's a very fascinating topic. Anyways, but what Yosef is saying is 100%. And that is that Svek Sveka doesn't need a makar because the idea behind Svek Sveka is that it's just too distant to be taken seriously. There's no latus asafek. That's what the Rabbi used to say. Svek Sveka, there's no latus asafek. Then you don't need a makar. Oh. But then the question is, would you say this about all Svek Svekas? And what's fascinating about it particularly is that you're saying it based on the number of steps required rather than necessarily on the percentages, because getting back to the Rove idea for a moment, right, it still could be 75-25, and in some cases it could be 60-40 or 55-40, whatever it is. You know, on Rove, would we necessarily say 75-25 or 60-40 is not a suffix? So in a way, you're adding a legal or formalistic component to it. Oh, you have to do two mathematical operations or two steps in order for this to be a problem. It's walking across the street, right? With the, I don't mean Queens Boulevard, but every other place. Yeah, you wanted to.
No, I was just asking. Isn't it sort of like the same idea of road, like it's becoming?
So that's one of the things we have to compare it to. Right. We want to know, is that what's going on in Rove too? 100%. But the point is that there could be distinctions between them. And the fact that this is only composite Rove, not a natural Rove, you know, means don't look at it as Rove. But there are parallel questions. The truth is that the status of Chazaka, right? And there are different types of Chazakas, as we know. Rove, and there are different types of Roves, as we know. Right, natural roves, unnatural roves, you know, the Isa Kamons, the Lesa Kamons, and Svek Sveka. Now we know that there are also different types of Svek Sveka. Are parallel questions, right? But we might conclude that we should be mechalik between them. Okay. Now, having said that, so let's. What does that have to do with Rashi and Tosis here? Oh. So basically, there is a huge debate. Just to put this out on the table, and then we'll try to finish this tomorrow. I should also add, by the way, the composite Rove idea is understood by many Achronim to be the basis for Svek Sveka. Shav Shmaitza, again, is very into it. But they base it on the Tshuva of the Rajba that I told you, if you had a chance to look at, Chelek Aleph Simin Tuf Aleph, where the Rajba doesn't exactly say it. What he really does say is that Svek Sveka Logara Miro. I want to talk about that very briefly. So, you know, as he puts it in the orbit of Rove, he doesn't say that it's Bidin Rove, he says it's Logara Mi Rove. Okay. Anyways, the point is that, you know, we have the Ra'ah and some people's reading of the Rambam. By the way, the Rif has a line in which he just says, of course Svek Sveka is Mutter, because it's not Safek, so why should it be awesome? That's probably Ein Lecha Go Bo Elechidusho. The lack of Latus HaSafek is something which we'll see the Rajba and other Rishonim formulate explicitly. I'm sorry. Where is the Rif? That's what he says. Correct. Just says, like, of course. He doesn't need to give a reason.
That's Rif, it's Gimel and Aleph.
Gimel and Aleph.
Gimel and Beis.
Yeah. Okay. So now let's just look, consider, in terms of the Rashi and Tosis, the following issue. So there is a big Machlokas Rishonim. I mentioned it in the pre-Pesach shir, for anybody who was here last year. But you know, a lot of the travelers tend to miss those. That there's a big machlokas Rishonim, as we know, regarding Rove and possibly Svek Sveka in a case of Efshel Avara, right? Azlina Basa Rove, we have psukim that back that up. But what if afshalavarer? Right. So the famous one is the Ramban and Balamor in the beginning of Chulin, but it's in many other places too, including Chametz. Right. Rov mitzuyin etzol shchita mumchene. Most people who pick up a sack in shal shchita, right? You know, do so only if they're trained. It's very presumptuous to pick up a sack in shal shchita when you don't know what you're doing with it, right? So rov mitzuyin etzol shchita mumchene. That's a behavioral rov. So the question is, and if the guy, if the shochet is standing in front of you, right? Not necessarily, even but after. Forget about, not even before, after. Right? And you can give him a bechina. If he knows Hilchos Shechita. And, or, you can, you know, watch his, or ask him to demonstrate his technique. Right? So why should you rely on the rov? It's Efshel Avarer. So the Balamor and the Ra'ah in Bedek Abayis, Balamor and Chulin, the Ra'ah in Bedek Abayis, not in the same place I mentioned before, it's a different Ra'ah, when he talks about the beginning of Hilchos Shechita in Torah Abayis, where it should be, in Rov Mitzvah Neitzel Shechita Mot Kanein, and the Ritva in Psachim, Avdalah Nomen Aleph, in the Sugah Bedikas Chametz, right, the Rov people do Bedikas Chametz, therefore you can rely on it, you know, when you're, you know, when you buy the house and you buy it after the time of Bedikas Chametz, you can rely on the fact that it was done because of the rov, right? So the Ritva there, the Balamor, all of them say, even if Hafshel Avar ain't Tzarech Avar, the Ritva has a line where he even says, after all, you know, something like, you know, Torah lo nitna lemelachei asharis or something like that. And, you know, you're allowed to rely on robes. You're allowed to rely on robe. You're allowed to rely on robe. But the majority Rishonim, the Ramban in Muchamos and Chulin, the Rajba in Chidushim all over the place, and in Torah Sabayis, they are of the opinion, most Rishonim of the opinion, that Efshel Avarer, Tzarech Avarer. You rely on robe when you have to. Well, we understand that. That's why should you do something misafe, presumably, if you can do it mivadai. That's the machlokas. So how do you understand that machlokas? So you could say the machlokas, like I was suggesting a minute ago with the Ritva, is more like a, you know, well, you know, you have to have confidence in these mechanisms, and therefore even when you can get a better result, the level of confidence that we have, or to instill confidence, right, is or the halakhic, you know, reality, let's say, aspect of it, there's something inspiring about the Ritva, a little dangerous but inspiring, you know, is koveh. Or maybe the machlokas is what you were kind of alluding to before, namely in rov, even in rov, do we really look at it as a chance, as a safek? Right? So the Rav used to understand that the machlokas between the Balamor and Ramban, etc., is really a machlokas when you have a miut in a matsui. Even the Ramban will agree, when you have a miut in a matsui, sorry, even the Ramban seems to say that efshel avar ein tzarech avar. But if it's a miut hamatsui, so the question is, do we look at the rov, right, as a machria or as a mavarer? In other words, it's more arbitrary and it's based on the global statistics, or do we really believe it in this case? Right, that's a big issue in Achros in general. Now the Rav, I've said this in the past, when he used to speak about these topics, at least in my, you know, the years that I was there, would equate lack of Leidus HaSafek with Mevarer, or Birur, and contrast them to Hachra. Personally, and this will help sort out disentangle some of the machloksim or some of the nuances, I personally think that there are three levels. One is lack of leidus hasafek, which means that the question doesn't get off the ground. That doesn't mean it's impossible, but it means unless you have, you know, a certain level of chashash, you just ignore it. It's like I gave the example. When you cross the street, you don't say berach sagoma, unless you're, you know, like a brisker or something. But, you know, or you have this kind of, you know, foreboding or, you know, whatever. But normally, accidents happen. Sometimes terrible accidents happen. But you know, when people cross a street, they don't say, oh, you know what, there's a 98.6% chance that I'm going to make it to the other side. They don't think about it. Not just because they're callous or careless. It's the kind of thing where, you know, unless something happens, there's no latus a suffix. In the opposite direction, there are situations where you rely on a rove, where clearly you know that you're taking a risk. The Torah allows you to take the risk under those conditions, but you're taking a risk. Even to the point that you might say that al pidin, there's still a shame suffix. Just because I'm being machriya doesn't mean there's no suffix. In between those two things, if you ask me, there is a latus a suffix, but we have confidence that the rove is mevarer, meaning not only are we operating globally on the bigger numbers and saying, you know what, hopefully it works here too, we're saying, you know what, in this particular case, we're confident that we got it right. But that's after admitting that there's a bit of a suffix. Okay, so I personally think there are three, and that will explain some things. Okay, either way, the machlokas about rove, especially in a case with the miut, hamatsui, right, in part has its analog in chazaka, and Rishonim debate whether it's treated the same way or not. By chazaka here, I don't mean, you know, chazakas that are really rove. Some chazakas are really ruba delesa kaman. They're behavioral, but they're based on statistics. I mean muchzakus, right, presumptive states continuing. That kind of chazaka. Is that a birur? Is that a hachra? Are there different types? Okay. And by svek sveka. And this might be a great example of svek sveka. Right? Basically, what Rashi's saying here, but there's an added knach, which it's late already. And that what Rashi's saying here is you have a svek sveka, but you know what? If you go to Bezdin, maybe Yetze Kol. And it'll be Mavarer, if you can be Mavarer. Now, it's a little bit more of a Chiddush here because, right, you don't necessarily have the Birur Biyadcha. It's a Suffolk Birur. Right. Normally, if I give a Bechina or I watch a demonstration of the Shochet, I'm sure it's not a Vada either. Maybe coincidentally he got the answer right and maybe today he's, you know, he happens to be in good form. But basically, you know, the basis for Birur, we can be confident to begin with that if he passes the Bechina, both of them, right, the learning one and the physical one, you know, that we're going to get a better answer, better than the Rove. Right, that's not necessarily the case. It's more of a shot in the dark. It's a possibility. You know, if you don't want to leave any avenue unturned to not rely, you know, on the Hachros or the Birurim, but, you know, to find out definitively, then it's a good thing to do. But it's far from a sure thing or a likely thing. So this is actually weaker than the typical F Shalavar. Having said that, what you might say is that's exactly why Rashi emphasizes what he does, that it's about Yetze Kol Bebezdin, the Yabba Levar Sadavar. Because what he's saying is that in F Shalavar it's Arach Levar. In other words, Rashi's taking the view, Svek Sveka is a Safek, right? It's just that we're Machria, or maybe it's a Mavarer. You know, even if you want to go a little further. But there is a latus a safek. And therefore, well, why not get as much information as we can? And the Bali Tosfos are saying either this level of efshel levarer is too skimpy, or maybe svek sveka, there's no latus a safek whatsoever. So I want to pick up on that idea a little more. And in light of that, I want to explain why, I'll just tell you now very quickly, why that Rashi and Tesamid base and the first day of Tosfos works out nicely. Because the point may be that maybe there are different types of svekos too. That if I have a svek sveka regarding how this played out, what happened to this woman, tachta vein, tachta bonus and ratzon, right, to say that under those conditions is a latus a safek is one thing. But to say that a charge which is based on his lack of expertise and what he thinks he saw, but we don't really trust, if he's not really a baki to say the physical, pesach pasuach, the idea that that cannot create a latus a safek, and maybe Al-Pidin cannot create a latus asafek, meaning, but he's besmirching her reputation because he thinks, but is not even expert enough, right, to know about the physical reality, and that we're going to take seriously? That isn't Motzi Laz? Al-Pidin, we may say that's, and in reality, that's lacking latus asafek. Okay, so I want to pick up on this, a few issues of that, and then talk about the Ran and the Ramban, and then move on to Shaktu and Higiasma.
Robbie.